the Bible tells us about a man who ruled Babylon and all its land. Around the city he built a wall and declared it back never fall. He had concubines and wives, called it Babylon paradise. From the vessels of honor he drank his wine, old Belshazzar had a good time. But he was waiting to manage and found wanting. His kingdom divided, couldn't stand. Waiting to manage and found wanting. He built his houses in the sand. Then from out of nowhere appeared a hand, nothing else, it was no man. In blood the hand began to write, Belshazzar couldn't hide his pride. Belshazzar searched, but he couldn't find a man who could give him peace of mind. Then Daniel the prophet, a man of God, saw the writing on the wall in blood. Belshazzar asked him what it said, then you turned to the wall in red. My friend, you waited to balance it by warning. Your kingdom divided, it won't stand. Waiting to balance it by warning. You built your houses in the sand.
Want to turn with us over in Luke's gospel tonight in the 15th chapter. We're talking about right attitudes tonight. Right attitudes. Amen. Don't let me get too loud because there's some empty pews and the sound will be bouncing, Brother Ed, and I appreciate it. Luke's gospel, the 15th chapter. See, the angels don't, you know, they're just there in all these places in the church tonight. So. Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter, let's read verse 7, 10, and 24. Verse 7, it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for who you are. We ask, Father, that your presence would be felt here in this word, which is yours, God. And Father, in these three little simple stories, help us to draw from it that, God, that we need to hear tonight that would make us better stewards of the responsibility that you have given us. God, that would be for your glory. And we love you tonight and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In this 15th chapter, we see there's a lot of information here, and we don't have enough time to cover it and dig it all out. You can do your study. But there's three particular stories that we'll draw from. And in this, these are right attitudes that we to have for the church to have. Now, this is for all of us as the body of Christ that we need to have to be able to win souls. Amen? To impact lives. It brings success, and success brings joy into our life. Amen? We see here, and I read the three scriptures, that there was joy in heaven and joy in the angels and joy here with the Father that his son was found, and they all begin to be merry. Amen? So there's three success stories here, and it brings joy in every one of them. It brings joy that one person repenteth, and repent is 180 degrees. Repent means to think differently. When people begin to think differently, that shows that they have repented. Amen? Somebody can tell you all day long that they are saved, but if they're thinking the same way that they've always thought, they've not repented. Repent means to think differently. Amen? We're going to walk differently and talk differently and think differently. And we are to be different. Amen? In these three stories here, in the first one, it talks about a lost sheep. Now, a sheep is a dumb animal. Amen? At times, the sheep, because they, remember this morning we talked about people, or as Jesus looked at people as they fainted, and they was acted as if they had no shepherd. And they begin to wonder. And sheep are like that. If the shepherd doesn't watch over the sheep, then they will begin to wonder. Amen? In this story here with the lost sheep, it says that a sheep had wandered away. Over in Mark's gospel, you can read it when you get home. I believe it's the 18th chapter. It talks about this same story. It said a sheep had gone astray. And they had just kind of didn't know. And through ignorance, they had wandered off. And so with that, it is the responsibility for the church, when this is a newborn in Christ, a babe in Christ, someone who don't really know how to walk in Christ, and they begin to stray away from the fold, from the flock. And then it is our responsibility then to go after them. The Bible said that a man had 100 sheep, and if one went astray, that he goes find that. He leaves the 99 and he goes find that stray. Now, sometimes it works in a fashion of sometimes you may be coming here and there's a message preached, and for 99 of you, it is boring you to tears. But it's after that one sheep that is straying a little bit, and the Lord sees that, and the message is for that one. So in that case, the 99 ought to be patient while this one is being preached, so that we can bring that one that's astray back into the fold. Can we understand that? It is also that whenever we have someone comes in and comes down to the altar and gets saved, unless we can knock them in the head and send them on to heaven, we're going to have to watch over them, because they don't know how to walk. They're brand new babes in Christ. They don't know how to act. And it would be very easy for them to go astray. So the attitude of the church is, there's a newborn babe. Now today, Sister Sherry and Brother Larry brought their grandbaby to church this morning. Some of y'all saw the little baby there, that their heads were so big this morning when I walked into Sunday school class. I said, who is them big head people there? But it was, they had their granddaughter with them, Clarabelle. And so, you know, I noticed that when we got to Shoney's there, they went to Shoney's with us to eat, and they had set Clarabelle down in a chair, and we all sat down and prayed before we went to the bar. Well, old granddaddy, he gets up, and we go up there to the bar and start getting there, you know, filling our trough up, you know, and he was kind of giggling, you know, them women, they still sitting there at the table. They must not want anything. I said, they ain't going to get up because that baby's there. Oh, I forgot about the baby. That's a granddad for you, ain't it? I mean, you know. But you see, that's what happens with us in the church. When a new person gets saved, we say, praise God, hallelujah, they're saved, and we forget all about them. Come on. I mean, we don't try to get them in Sunday school and try to talk to them. You need to be in Sunday school, because that's where the word is broken down, and you can digest it easier. You can understand it, and you can learn fellowship from fellowship. You can learn from one another. That's what's important about fellowships, is we can grow from one another. Amen. We can sharpen ourselves on one another, if you will. We can learn from one another. And so, What happens is that when we see someone come into the church like that and we see them start to stray away, then what we to do is to go after them. It's the responsibility of us all in here. It's not just the pastor's job. There's no way I could do everything. I can only be in one place at one time. I can't do everything. That's why in the church we have Stephen pastors. And sometimes when you're out, Brother Dave may not see you or call you, you know, but I'm mindful they let me know that they have contacted you and they keep me informed. There's no way I can do everything. And so when they contact you and they come to you, it is the same as me being there. Said, Brother Dave, that ain't Bible. Yes, it is, the book of Acts. They chose out men full of the Holy Ghost. That's called Stephen. That's where the Stephen pastors come from. Amen. So we all do this together. We're in this thing together. So it's not just the pastor's job to train them up. You and teachers in Sunday school, you teach them and you train them and you watch over them. And we're to be our brother's keeper. We don't wait for the Stephen pastors to do it. You know who's sitting on either side of you in the pew. You know if they're out, if you love them and concerned about them, God will reveal it to you to help out. Amen. But what I'm saying is there's some people that don't know how to walk. And the Bible tells the elder to teach the younger how to walk. The older women to teach the younger women. And likewise, the older men to teach the younger men. It's all our responsibility. Amen. So whenever that lost sheep, it is all of our responsibilities to watch out for that lost sheep. Amen. Even when our preaching sometimes may leave the 99 and go after that one. But we're all patient. Amen. But what do they do? It talks about that sheep went astray. Though a sheep is a dumb animal. And it will times will wander off from the fold through ignorance of not knowing. So the church is to go and get them and load them on their shoulder. I hope it's none of y'all heavy that gets departed. Come on. I like them little children. I can bring them back easier. Pick them up. Amen. Come on. But load them on the shoulder and bring them back. It's our job. It's all of our jobs to do this. Amen. So we're to do that. All right, we got the first one down. Look at the one next to you and say, you got your job. And let me tell you, watching out for little sheep trying to go astray is a job. Come on. Look at the one next to you and say, got my eye on you now. I'm watching you. I ain't gonna let you go astray. And the next story... And the next story is the story of a woman that had these 10 coins. And she lost one of them. And the Bible said that she lost it and she searched for it. And she searched diligently, did not stop searching until she found it. Now, what is this story about, Brother David? This story, you know, the Bible tells us about in many things we offend all. How many has ever been offended at church? Everybody, you hold your hand up. Now, I'm sure you've been offended at church. Amen. Now, you want to see something? Watch the hands decrease. How many has ever offended somebody at church? Oh, that's about the same. That's good. Amen. We've all been offended and we've all offended. I probably offend some of y'all about every time I get up here. I get my tongue wrapped around my eye tooth and I can't see what I'm saying sometimes. Or I get my foot in my mouth. I don't know. But that would be hard, wouldn't it? But what this story is the fact that when we do offend someone, it's not the preacher's job to go patch things up for you. My phone rang one Sunday morning about 7:30 in the morning. 7 o'clock. I mean, we're still asleep. The phone rings. And Sister Connie answered it and said, I want to speak to Brother David. She hands the phone to me. The guy didn't say hello. Didn't say, how you doing? Are you up? Am I bothering you? He just started reading the scripture. Anybody you got all to get, anybody you need to go to them. And he read the whole scripture to me. Already knew it. And then he says, when he finished, he said, and brother, I choose you to go to these people for me. I said, sir, did you just understand what you read? The Bible said for you to go. No, but I choose you. I said, that's not what you read to me. Come on. This story is that that woman lost that coin, and it's that woman is the only one that can go find that coin. And sometimes when we offend people, the right attitude is to have, is to be a big enough man or a big enough woman to go to them and say, I am sorry that I offended you. Please forgive me. What is wrong with that? I've had to say it many times. Thank you, Sister Connie, for reminding me. Mostly to her. It makes for a better night's sleep. Amen. But look here. The same way that there was joy in heaven and joy in the church when that little sheep that went astray came back, it's the same way that when there was peace back in the church, amen, and that one that was offended got found and brought back in, and there was harmony back in the church. The right attitude brought peace, and peace is priceless. Amen. Come on. I mean, this is what we're to do. This is our things. This is what he tells us to do. The lost coin, she lost it. She must find it. If you offend someone and it causes them to leave or get lost, you must go find them. The blood is on your hand. God holds you responsible. Not the pastor, not the teacher, not the one next to you, but you. God holds you responsible. Amen. Now look at the one next to you and say, if you offend me, you better come get me. Now look back at him and say, because if I offend you, I'm coming after you. It's like Paladin on that old Western years ago. I used to watch it a little bit, but it came on here not long ago and I recorded one. I said, what in the world did I ever see in that show? That was a weird one. He got a little card. And his card was, have gun, we'll travel. And we're to have love, we'll travel. I'm coming to get you. Huh? Amen. All right. Now then, let's talk about the last one here. We'll spend a little more time with this. The prodigal. This young man, he made a conscious decision to leave. Now, I've seen people who were mature adults in Christ. They knew what they was doing. Hard-headed. Get upset about something. You know, and just pile up and leave. Huh? They knew what they was doing. And then I've seen about half the church go crying and screaming and crawling after them and almost tear the church up. When the Bible clearly said Ephraim is joined to their idols, leave them alone. Just leave them alone. In this story of the prodigal son, I want to ask you, did his father go chasing after him one time? Did the father love him? He surely did. His father loved him supremely. And probably the hardest thing his father ever did do was not chase after that young man. Why? Because the first time he brought him back, the first time he wasn't looking, he's going to be gone again. Amen. Talk to this young man right up here, Brother Sister Ferguson, after church. This guy's from up in Tennessee. Well, maybe y'all don't want to talk to him. I'm sorry. No, I just kidding. He made that conscious decision. He counted the cost. He knew what he wanted to do. And the father never went after him to bring him back. He didn't send him a letter. He didn't make phone calls. He didn't do visits. In other words, Ephraim was joined to the idols. He just let him alone. Hard. Had to be hard. It's kind of like the story that my son told up here when he was teaching one night. He said it's a story about this young lad. He was out in the field. He was plowing. And his dad looked out the window of the house. And he was having a hard time. That mule was jerking him and trying. He was holding the reins and dragging him along, dragging him. That mule was trying to go. And his dad come out there. And he said, "Son," says, "sometimes that old mule will get that far away look in his eyes." Says, "When he gets that far away look in his eyes, just let him go. Just let him go." And sometimes people will get that old faraway look in their eye. You might as well ain't going to say nothing to them, because you're going to make them mad if you do say anything. I don't care what it is. It's a nice day today. They're going to get said, "What's so nice about it?" I mean, they're going to find whatever you say. And they get that faraway look. It might as well let them go. Just let that mule go, son. When he gets that faraway look, let him go. He says, "You'll find him somewhere down through there." That old plow gets hung on an old stump or wrapped up in a bunch of old barbed wire. I said, when that happens, he'll be glad to see you coming. He said, "Just let him go. Just let him go. And after a while, my friend, they'll be glad to see you coming." Amen. They get that faraway look. You can't stop them. Might as well let him go. That's what this prodigal son, he had him a faraway look. And some church people are like mules. Did you know that? They are. They're stubborn. They're hard-headed. They're like preachers. Don't get to shouting back there now. They sometimes get that faraway look. They get them long mule faces. Come on. Them long mule faces. And nothing that the preacher can say will make them happy. Come on. And they get to acting like mules. Listen to me. A mule, though, cannot reproduce. And so when we get that way, we can't reproduce for God. Come on. They're hybrid. Hybrids cannot reproduce. It's like fish that are hybrid. They can't reproduce. That's like seeds that are hybrid seed. They can't reproduce. That's why if we get dependent on the crops and the seed and them crops to next year, it won't work, friends, unless you got some of them old-timey seeds. They say, "Oh, well, I'll plant me a garden if they want to put me a market. I'll just plant me a garden." Well, you might get by this year, but them seed won't work next year. They're hybrid. Won't work. And when you become a hybrid Christian, I think that's what's wrong with it. I have figured this thing out while we ain't growing. We ain't nothing but a bunch of hybrid Christians in here. Come on. Bunch of mules. Ops, 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 ops. Ops, ops. Help us, Lord. No wonder I can't fill these pews up. I'm too hard. Luke, the 15th chapter, verse number 11. Listen to this little story here. It says, and he said, Jesus did, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto" who? Now remember that now. Remember, he divided unto both his sons, them. Now, I remind you now, do you understand Jewish customs? The younger went to him and said, "Father, give me my portion." And he divided unto them their portions. Jewish custom was the elder get a double portion. So when the younger got his, the elder got double. Now, I want you to remember that now. I want you to remember it. Amen? He got that double portion. All right. Verse 13. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took" whose journey? His journey. He had this thing plotted out. He done went on the internet and he got MapQuest and he got it all figured out before. took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Now I'm telling you, listen, this is like people sometime, and they get that faraway look in their eye, and they get, you know, they get kind of like complacent with the church, and they get complacent, with serving God in this particular location, say right here in our church here, and they get that faraway look in their eye, and they go. But as soon as they get out there, they begin to already see that they made a wrong decision. And their life begins to turn, and they can't find nowhere else to go. They go here, and they go there, and they go there, and they go there, and they go there. I mean, people have been sitting there for years in here, but they go out there, they stay for a few months here, and a few months there, and a few months here, and a few months there, and you know, and just, I mean, they're just floating everywhere. They can't find anything. But all this time, this son, when he got out there, and he I guarantee you, he saw that, boy, my inheritance, it's going fast. I mean, this is rough life out here. But his pride kept him from coming back. Pride goeth before the fall. Pride has cost a lot of people their soul and the blessings of God. Pride. Amen. It says in Ecclesiastes 9 and 18, it said, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. I mean, can you imagine a place where there's no sinners? You wouldn't have to have locks on your doors. We wouldn't have had to lock our cars. We wouldn't have to put bars over the air conditioning units at a church. We wouldn't have to have security systems on the buildings. I'm telling you, I'm going to a place like that because ain't no sinners going to be there. Amen. I guarantee you, if there was nobody that was stealing from any of the stores, the price of the merchandise in that store could be dropped dramatically. We was in Walmart the other night, and Brother Mike Ashley said, you think anything stole out of this store? I said, a lot of it goes out the back door. A lot of it goes out the front, but a lot goes out the back. John's Gospel 8:34, Jesus answered them, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The young man became a servant, a slave to this lifestyle. Amen. Romans 6 and 16, it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. I read that scripture this morning. There's a lot of people that get inducted into that, become slaves and servants unto where. That's what it is. Look, he went and he joined himself to the citizens of that country. And he began to go out to the fields and feed the swine. This is what the citizen of that country told him to do. This is what his lifestyle has got him out in the middle of the field feeding swine. Verse number 16, it says, and he would fain or gladly have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he began to think, you know, back in my father's house, the hired servants, he's better than I'm eating. I mean, he was a son in the house, but back at my father's house, I mean, the lowest of the people that eat like kings compared to what I'm eating, I would gladly eat what these hogs are eating. He came to himself, what in the world am I doing out here? What am I doing out here? Now, this young man was in the hog pen when he came to himself. Amen? We'd read the story of Jonah, and when Jonah came to himself, he was in the whale's belly. True? The jailer in Acts, the 16th chapter, when he came to himself, he asked Paul, what must I do? Paul came to himself on the road to Damascus with the bright light. But in Luke's gospel, the 16th chapter, the rich man came to himself in hell. When will we come to ourselves? When will people... You know, if you see somebody that's out there bumping around, going here and there and everywhere, won't you just stop them and shake them and say, when will you ever come to yourself? Won't you come to your senses? The Bible said that he came to himself. Amen. You see, he was like that old mule that got hung up on that old stump. He came to himself. Amen. What was he at? He was in the hog pen, and the Bible said that he came to himself. What did he do? Huh? I believe it was like this. He's holding this pail. What did he do? He dropped the pail. He jumped the rail, and he hit the trail. Amen. He's headed back to the Father's house. Think about it. I ask you, when did you come to yourself? Or have you come to yourself? Amen. And when he came to himself, verse 17, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Now, I ask you, I wonder if this young man would have ever come to himself if his dad kept calling him every other day, sending him a little money, writing him letters. Come on, tough love, this is called tough love. I mean, sometimes parents need to tell their children, hit me, slap me on the back. No. Well, they'll get down on the floor and kick and scream and hold their breath till they pass out. Well, let them pass out. They'll come back too once they pass out. Oh, Andy Griffin, Nobi, Opie, one of his friends is rich dads, you know, and he couldn't get something from Opie, and that kid said, oh man, I said, I can get it, you know, anytime I want. You need to wise up, boy. And he showed this rich kid, you know, and his dad told him no, and boy, he just jumped down to the floor, kicking and screaming and rolling the floor, and his dad said, oh, okay, son. So Opie, try this on Andy. He gets down there and he starts kicking and screaming. Andy looks at him, walks off doing something else around the office. And there, you know, he's going on. A few minutes, Opie gets up and like, didn't work. What you doing? Hello. The dad never went in, never went to see how he's getting along. So what did he do? He said in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. Since my father didn't come to me, I'm hungry. I'm going to my father. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I'm not, this is what he's contemplating doing. I'm going to tell my father this. I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now, he didn't come back all puffy and mad because his daddy didn't come after him now. Come in, sit on the back pew and said, that preacher, y'all didn't come get me and I was out there. No, he was glad to get back. He didn't see what's out there. He says, listen. And he arose and came to his father. Listen to this. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. I believe old dad was sitting on that old porch looking down that old dusty road. Said, maybe this is the day that my son's going to come. You know, every person that's ever left this building, I look for them like this right here. I'm talking about if it's ones that, you know, is the lost sheep, we'll go after them, or if I offend them, we'll go after them. But I'm talking about the people who knew. I'm looking right there, and I'm looking with eyes of love, and I would just love for them. I like to preach to people. It's a lot easier to preach to people than empty pews. I'm telling you. So I love y'all. Amen. I was thinking about it over a while ago. I said, it ain't about half filled tonight. And I said, but I thank God for them half filled. It'd be rough in here with just empty pews. But I'd preach it. I'd preach it just like I'm preaching now. Amen. But look at here. It says, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. Can you imagine the day you got saved? I believe God was looking for you to come. Come on. I believe he was waiting. Verse 21, it says, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. That's repentance. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servant, bring forth the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive, and he was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Amen. Whenever someone that has made a conscious decision to go and leave the church and they're out there in the world, amen, and when they come back in, my friend, you open your arms big with love, so much love, and just love them and embrace them. You say, Brother Dave, I don't know what they did. I could care less. Love them. Love them when they come in. Show them love. Amen. Let's show Brother James love. Amen. I love Brother James. Amen. God is good to us all the time. Good. Amen. Uh-oh. Here we go now. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Verse 28, and he was angry. That's not a right attitude, is it? He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He was mad. Now, mind you now, he had gotten a double portion. The other brother got just one portion. He got two. He'd had the good living and the good time. It reminds me of someone that maybe leave the church and they stay gone for a couple of years, you know, and we here still in church, and boy, just God blessing us, and we just shouting and praising God, and hearing fabulous preaching and teaching and singing. Come on. Come on. I think we got some good singers right here. Wonderful singers. I played a song there, Brother David sang there last Sunday night and said, you're all invited to my mansion. He didn't know at that time. I just found out my brother had passed on. And I was just over here basting in the Lord, and he's singing it, and I could just see the Lord just kind of allowing that song to be sung, that my brother was singing it to me. You know, you're all invited to my mansion. I don't know what the rest of it. I don't know the rest of it. That's all though. That's good enough. All right, short enough. Short and sweet. Okay. Amen. And when, you know, we're here basting in all this good preaching and we're growing in the Lord, and then they come back in, and a lot of people, most everybody is, praise God, hallelujah, they're here. But then there'd be some that'll say, what are they doing back here? They should have been here helping us pull the load. They left us when we was working hard and doing, and now they want to come back and just enjoy the blessings. Come on now. Lord talking. He knows where we're living. He knows where we're living. Well, I ain't going to step them back in unless they come in here and tell me I'm bowed out of my feet and tell me that they're so sorry and all this. I know that the boy came back in a repentful attitude. That's the way they should come back. Amen. But I forgive them already. Amen. He was jealous. He was envious. He had the spirit of Cain. What did Cain do? He killed his brother. Jealousy will do that. But watch out. And the elder brother answered in verse 29. Well, let me, hold on. I got some more scripture here. Isaiah 65 and 5. Which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. That's what we say sometime. I've been in church all this time. I ain't been out there running like you've been running. You should have been here living it like I've been living it. I'm holier than thou. Huh? I like what one preacher said one time. He walked by and he seen a guy passed out in an alley in a gutter. And he looked at him and he says, but by the grace of God, that's me right there. Come on. Could happen to any of us. The Bible teaches us to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Of course, you can take that two ways. Sister Caddy, Brother Carlisle's daughter Jamie said one time when she was little, she was kind of mean to one of the little girls at school, and her mama was fussing her a little bit about it. And she said, well, says the Bible says do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And evidently, the way she's mean to me, she must be want me to be mean to her. She's doing unto me as she wants me to do to her. Okay. I don't think that's what it meant, though. Luke's Gospel, 18th chapter, verse number 11, said the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice a week, and I give tithe of all that I possess. And the publican stood afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. God is good to us. The elder brother at verse 29 says, and he answered and said to his father, he said, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. A lot of eyes in there, ain't it? Lo, these many years I serve thee, and I never transgress thy commandment, and I might make myself merry with my or I friends. But as soon as thy son, this thy son, oh, he didn't say my brother, this that thy son, he didn't say my brother, thy son, was come, which hath devoured the living with harlots. How do you know that? Uh-huh. I believe he'd been sneaking into town and lusting after what his brother was doing. Oh, he's out there with them harlots. Oh, I wish I could. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, look what he's doing now. Oh, he's having all these hard, good times. And I'm back at my father's house. It might be where some of the jealousy come in, because they got to do it and you didn't. He's devoured thy living with harlots. And thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. I mean, it's kind of like this. Jealousy is a bad thing. It surely is. I mean, around the church, you have to watch who you brag on sometime. I mean, if you're you know, kind of bragging on this one over here, this one over here get mad. And they don't ever brag on me like that. Boy, you have to watch. Church people are like kids, and we're the parents. And, you know, well, it's not so bad around here. It's that church across the street got a problem with it, though. You know. You know how we always want to say them other people, you know. You know. I mean, Lord blesses somebody to get a, you know, a new automobile and they drive that thing in up front and park up here close to the visitor, park it up front here, you know, and that thing's smelling good and nice and beautiful and everybody goes out there and says, oh wow, look at this. And there's this one over here said, it'd be nice. It must not be tithing. That's why they have to afford all that. And they don't clean the church. I don't know why they get all their blessings like that. Come on now. We ought to be glad. Come on. You get a raise on your job, I'm going to shout with you. That's more tithe. Come on. You get a brand new automobile, praise God, hallelujah. Hey, sometime I might want to borrow it. I don't want to ride that old smoky thing. No, I will. Come on. I mean, somebody get a blessing there in a new house or a new suit of clothes. And, oh, hell, that dress will look better on me than on her. Kill us if we complimented. Just kind of put a new dress on the other day and walking around there with it on for a little while. And Reckless said something about it. She said, I was waiting for you to finally say something. And I said, well, oh, is that a new one? And she said, yeah. The way she usually does it, she'll hang in the closet for 6 months. And I say, you done spent money on a new dress? Oh, no, I've had this thing for a long time. I know y'all women's secret now. I like my wife to look good, though. She's a trinket on my arm. Amen. Dig it out fast. I mean, if we had the right attitude that when the father saw that one coming and was embracing that the brother come in and they said, what's all this music? He said, your brother is home. Oh, praise God. I've been praying for him. That's the attitude to have. Isn't it not? That's the attitude. That's the right attitude to have. But look what the father said. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You could get a fatted calf any time you want to. I've seen people be away from church for a while, and they come in and they come to the altar, and God begin to bless them, and they get up from there and they go to shouting and dancing in the spirit. And then there'll be somebody after church and say, come up and say, well, how in the world they get a blessing like that? I've been here all the time and I ain't had one of them in a long time. Well, it's up there anytime you want it. Well, you just got to get up here and get it. It's not going to fall on you just sitting there. You got to get hungry. That boy came home hungry. He said, I would gladly eat the husk. He was hungry and thirsty after righteousness of the Father's house. And he came in hungry. You can get it anytime you get hungry. Son, it's always in the house. The Father goes on and says it was meat that we should make merry and be glad. It was suitable, son. It was the right thing to do. For this thy brother... See, he said, thy son to his dad. This thy son. And the dad is reminding him, he's your brother. Respect him. This thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. I told... There was a lot of people that, as y'all know, my brother he started going to church in the last few years. He quit drinking about 7 years ago. Now, I was at my dad's house, and somebody might want to hear this. Go ahead, just leave it running. I was at my dad's house one time. A few years ago, and my dad was talking to my brother's wife, and my dad says, how's Pete? Is he still drinking a lot? And she said, he hadn't drunk anything for, I think at that time it was like 7 months. And my dad hung up, and she said, Pete hadn't drunk any. It was either 5 or 7 months. My dad said, that's something, ain't it? I said, Daddy, if Pete Whitfield hadn't drunk in that long, that's not just something. That's a miracle. You got to understand, he drank every day and he got drunk every night. He started going to church with his wife some, you know. It's a big church. It's a real big church. And they went there for several years. She sang in the choir, and he would go. And then they started going on these senior bus tours all over the country with them. And he'd, you know, all of our family are kind of crazy anyhow, you know. And the little hats that we got from the mountains with the hair, you know. Y'all remember those fellas, you know. Well, I had one, and when my dad died, I had it in my car, and I knew he would like that thing, you know, so I give it mine. And he said everywhere he'd go, boy, he'd go off with the young people sometime, and he'd go off with the senior trip, and he'd wear that hat and put on crazy glasses and them bubba teeth and all that, you know, and they'd just have a good time, you know. And you know, he just got attached to a lot of the people in church, see. Fellowship. It's good, you know. Here about a year or so ago, they called me up and they said, I didn't even ask them why. And they said, we've left our church and we're going to go visit around some. And a lot of people said, well, why'd you leave? I didn't ask them. I didn't want to know. I just want to pray for them, you know. And they visited around. They sent the tithes here at this church while they visited a couple of times. And they visited around for a while. And then they went back to this church. And every once in a while I'd ask them, I said, y'all found a church yet, you know? And I said, no, we've been to this one a couple of times. We kind of like it, but, you know, and then we go to this one and things. And then I asked them again. I said, well, we about decided to go back to our church. And I said, well, it'll be good. It'll be okay. I knew they had a lot of attachments there, you know? And they went back. And at the funeral, I don't know, in a big church, you know, I don't even know if they knew they'd gone for a while. I mean, well, you got thousands of people in there, you know, but I think maybe so. But I told them, I said, I want to thank y'all that, you know, a while back they left and wanted to go out. I said, sometimes people do that in a church. I said, just let them go. And I said, but when they came back, y'all met them with love. And I want to thank y'all for that. That y'all showed them love when they came back. And that meant a lot. And he enjoyed being with y'all on a lot of the trips and, you know, things like that. It's greeting people with the right attitude. Amen. It makes things so much better. The pastor of that church, he got up to do the funeral and he said, I don't know when my brother told him this. Maybe just told him, if you ever do my funeral, you know, not knowing that he's be that soon, but I guess once upon a time he told him, if you ever do my funeral, he said, there's three things. He said, I want you to read out of a King James Bible, and when you say Holy Ghost, say Holy Ghost. Don't say Holy Spirit, say Holy Ghost. That's his name. And he said, dress appropriately. Amen. And he didn't read a scripture in the chapel. He quoted John 3:16, but at the graveside, he read a scripture. And I wouldn't have went and bought me a King James if I didn't have one. I guess he figured nobody knew, but he read out of another book. But anyhow, I appreciate the fact that they showed him love when they came back. And friends, love is what builds a church. All of us get wrong attitudes at times. Sometimes we get up on the wrong side of the bed. Sometimes somebody has licked the red off our candy. Come on. I mean, I know it'd be hard for y'all to believe, but sometimes Sister Connie gets up in the wrong attitude. And sometimes even I get up at the wrong attitude. Nobody but Ruth will believe it? Okay, about you. But, you know, if we just be understanding and that L word, that long suffering with one another. Amen. We're all humans. We all open our mouth and say the wrong things at times. And some things we do we mean it one way and it's taken another. You know, it's a lot of that kind of stuff. But when they come back, remember, we've got to greet them with love. If you run them off, you go find them. Don't say, Brother Dave, I choose you to go find them. And when they're young in the Lord, it is all of our responsibilities. They're our babies. They're all of our babies, you know. I mean, it just can't be Grandma keeping up with Claribel and Shoney's. Granddaddy's going to have to help. I saw Grandma holding Claribel with a credit card over there trying to pay for it. I'm getting you, Brother Larry. Look at him. He red.